You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, December 28th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I'm happy to be here with you. I'm thankful to all my new listeners. Make sure you go check out my media on Forbes.com. I've been featured on BleacherReport.com as well. Make sure you go to LockedOnWarriors.com and bookmark the page. Go to Facebook, find Locked On Warriors and Locked On NBA Net. Check them out. Subscribe. You can find this podcast on iTunes or Google Play. It's available everywhere, and we appreciate you continuing to support Locked On Warriors, your team, every day. Great game last night. To recap, the Jazz fell to the Warriors. Another third quarter explosion for the Warriors and another defensive jewel. I'll be recapping that game in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to go back in time because it's Throwback Thursday. And we're going to go back to a moment that was very controversial in Warriors lore. It's around the time that I became a Warriors fan. I'm talking about the choke. And then in the third segment, we'll go back in time for me. I'll talk about my history, what brought me to the Locked On Warriors podcast, and what else I'm doing with my life. I try to keep it interesting. But first, is your company looking for men between the ages of 18 and 44? If so, Locked On Warriors is the place for you. You can email me at alikocarter11@gmail.com for details on how to become a sponsor for the Locked On Warriors podcast. We're listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, get at me. Our rates are reasonable, and I look forward to hearing from you. Solid 25-point win for the Warriors last night against the Utah Jazz with a defensive rating of 96.2 and an offensive rating of 120. That is a ridiculous spread, and it really came down to the third quarter. The first few quarters were disjointed. The Warriors were throwing the ball away, and they were allowing the Jazz to get a rhythm offensively and to get offensive rebounds, which is something that I was afraid of, that Derek Favors would be able to have his way down low early, and he did. 17 big points for Derek Favors, 10 rebounds, 5 on the offensive end, 3 rebounds on the offensive end for Thabo Sefolosha, and 2 for Rodney Hood. So we gave up a lot of second chance points in the first, but really it was just the first 2 quarters. The Warriors locked down defensively and started rebounding the ball better, getting back on defense and getting out on the offensive end in the third quarter. But without Rudy Gobert, the Warriors were really in attack mode. They got three-point play after three-point play. Patrick McCall was in on the action, obviously. Kevin Durant, Zsa Pachulia had a three-point play. There were a lot of good cuts, drives to the basket, great passing into the interior, and without Rudy Gobert, the Jazz really didn't have any rim protection. They were able to, the Warriors were able to, that is, continue to attack the Jazz, make them foul, and get to the line, which is not something that the Warriors are known for particularly, and is something that is really necessary when they're going up against teams that lack rim protection. The Warriors put 6 players in double figures in this game, led by Kevin Durant, 21 points on 10 shots, Klay Thompson, 15 points on 12 shots, Draymond Green, 14 points on 10 shots, Nick Young, 15 points on 9 shots. A lot of that came in garbage time, but he did have a few big shots in the third quarter, and Patrick McCall with a huge game, 18 points on 10 shots. He's out there looking as cool as the other side of the pillow. When he gets a three-point play, when he makes a big play, he doesn't celebrate. He just has this cool, calm, collected look on his face. He plays like a player who's been in the league for way longer than he has a lot of the time. He knocked down some three-pointers. He had a really important game, I think, for him off the bench. He's been starting recently, but he didn't start last night. I was wrong about who was going to start. Sean Livingston got the start because he's healthy now, and then also Zsa is back, and he was big as well. Just like literally, he was large. He was a large man and made things happen because he is a large man. Only 14 minutes for Zsa, though. Kerr's not trying to push him very hard. And obviously, Jordan Bell has earned minutes. 22 minutes for him, 13 big rebounds, 2 on the offensive end, and a ton of just action. He played defense like a mofo out there. And the third quarter defensively was really what turned the game around. So I want to get into this third quarter because it's back to what the Warriors are doing when their defense fuels their offense. They outscored the Jazz by 20 in this quarter, recording an offensive rating of 151.3 and a defensive rating of 78.0. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's nearly a 72-point net rating, which is just Warriors-like, honestly. Andre Iguodala led the way during this quarter in 2 minutes and 51 seconds with a net rating of 126.6. Jordan Bell followed 4 minutes and 45 seconds, 111.9. Patrick McCaw also a 111.9. And Nick Young in 4 minutes, a 100.4. Kevin Durant played all 12 minutes of this quarter and recorded a net rating of 73.3. He had 11 points in the quarter on 4 of 4 shooting. Draymond was 2 of 3. And the whole team really just shot the lights out. The only person who didn't make a shot was Andre, and he led the team in offensive rating. But it was really about the defense. 4 big blocks in the quarter, 7 for the game, some steals. And that allowed the Warriors to really get out and run. They had 30 fast break points in this game. With 7 coming in the third quarter and 20 points in the paint in the third quarter, they weren't relying on their three-pointers too much, and they only allowed 2 second-chance points to the Jazz. So with that rocky start, it ended up being a barn burner for the Warriors, holding the Jazz to 40.2% shooting while shooting 59.2% themselves, including 11 of 23 from three-point land. And everybody contributed. Everybody contributed to the defense, keeping the Jazz from getting their flow going. Donovan Mitchell only had 3 points in the first half. He's been scoring the ball very well for the Jazz. They kept Ricky Rubio from being a factor, and Derek Favors was kept quiet after the second quarter. All right, so it's Throwback Thursday, and we're going back in time to a controversial moment in Warriors lore. I'm talking about the choke. I'm talking about Latrell Sprewell and PJ Carlesimo. Sprewell was a new member of the Warriors in the fall of 1997. It's been 20 years since this went down. He was a new member of the Warriors, and sfgate.com has a great story about what went down there from December 1st, 2017. So Carlesimo was a first-year coach with the Warriors, and Sprewell was a first-year player. Not a first-year player, obviously, but a first-year player with the Golden State Warriors. And exactly what went down at Warriors practice that day is still a mystery. Carlesimo held closed practices, and he made no comment on that day, even though there were scratches up and down his neck. But apparently Carlesimo had been riding Sprewell hard since he arrived at Golden State, and he allegedly had told Sprewell he wasn't passing sharply enough. Latrell didn't like that, and they confronted each other, getting closer to each other. They were jawing across the court until they were close enough to touch, and Sprewell reached out and choked Carlesimo with his bare hands, and according to some reports, threatened to kill him. Sprewell, to his credit, later went on 60 Minutes and said, "I wasn't choking PJ that hard. I mean, he could breathe." And it gets even crazier. The story goes on to say, after a few shocking seconds, players pulled Sprewell away from Carlesimo, and Sprewell was ejected from practice. He took a shower, changed into street clothes, and then, according to the Warriors organization, he returned to commit a second assault on Carlesimo, punching him before being escorted out. Sprewell was originally hit with a 10-day suspension, but after the immediate aftermath, the outrage grew, punishments grew with them. 2 days after the incident, the Warriors voided Sprewell's 3-year, $23.7 million contract, and the NBA announced he was being suspended for the entire year. Sprewell's contract with the Warriors was reinstated eventually, but things had gone too far by then. He was traded to the Knicks, where he went to the finals in 1999. So that was a good few years for him in New York after the crazy shit that went down in Oakland. In 2002, Sprewell reported to Knicks training camp with a broken hand. He said he took a spill on his yacht, but the New York Post reported he'd been in a fistfight. The Knicks fined Sprewell and traded him at season's end to the Timberwolves. And that's when his most famous quote came. The Timberwolves offered him a $21 million contract extension in 2004. And Sprewell said, "I have a family to feed. If Glenn Taylor wants to see my family fed, he'd better cough up some money." By 2006, Sprewell was out of the league. He laid low for a while and then started to reappear with the Knicks organization. They really did embrace him in New York. And he's got a commercial where he kind of makes fun of, you know, he gives advice to this little girl and makes fun of himself. And I thought it was a really nice way for him to get a little bit of money because he probably needs it. But when you can poke fun at yourself, it shows that you have a good sense of humor. That commercial was for Priceline. Carlissimo has spent time coaching. He hasn't been in coaching since 2013, but he did spend some time with Team USA. And he said he had not ever patched things up with Sprewell. I'm not sure why he would. If somebody choked me and left scratches on my arm, my neck, probably I would never want to be around them again. But this story was really just a microcosm smack dab in the middle of the Warriors' woes between 1993 and 2007, where they didn't make the playoffs. They went through coach after coach. And shortly after Sprewell was jettisoned, they drafted Anton Jameson. And Anton was a class act for the entire time he was with the organization, playing a similar position in a similar role as Sprewell. He really took the Warriors, he took the stink off of the team, and Carlissimo was gone shortly thereafter. It's definitely one of the most famous Warriors moments of the last 30 years, and Latrell Sprewell's name will always be emblazoned with the Warriors organization. I do hope that he's gotten the help that he needs to deal with his clear anger management problems. Here at Locked On Warriors, we're all about mental health. The NBA was definitely a different place back in the day. You can't imagine a player coming after a coach like that in 2017. This was before the Malice in the Palace. This was before NBA Cares. This was an age where the players in the league were in a different place than they are now. And that's Throwback Thursday for Thursday, December 28th. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money betting on the bowl games, you gotta go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, for this last segment, I want to go into my own history and let you know what else I'm doing aside from the Locked On Warriors podcast and the path that brought me here. I graduated from Columbia University in 2011 and went directly, it was the recession, and I went directly to the first job that said yes, which was actually a fledgling sports media startup known as Bleacher Report. And I worked there for 3 years. I was a content producer and front page editor. And when they got bought by Turner, everything changed. There was a ton of money flowing in. The media video apparatus really, really went into high gear. And by the time I left Bleacher for different pastures, less sports-oriented pastures, it had become one of the largest sports media companies in the United States, second only to ESPN as far as monthly impressions. Working for Bleacher was really cool. I was in the San Francisco office initially and then moved to the New York office. I was there for 2 years and I covered every single sport you can imagine. Obviously, I was very interested in the NBA, but as a front page editor, it was my responsibility to know everything about everything. NFL, college football, MLB, hockey, Barclays Premier League, other European leagues, for soccer and college basketball, MMA. So I became an expert on all of those sports the time I was there. I lived and breathed it, and it was one of the best job experiences that I have had in my short career. After I left Bleacher Report, I was looking to get involved in something a little bit more justice-oriented, a little bit more social awareness-oriented, and I ended up at a nonprofit called Center for Employment Opportunities, which helps formerly incarcerated people find and keep full-time work. I was a grant writer there for 2 years, and during that time, I also moonlighted as a sports writer for Forbes, which I'm still doing now. At Forbes, I've written about the Warriors extensively. I've also written at the intersection of sports, business, and community impact. So I talk a lot about foundations, about philanthropy, about the community impacts that sports organizations can have. One of my pet projects is seeing what's going to happen to the Coliseum site after all three teams leave. It's not clear what's going to happen with the A's now that they're Peralta deal was canceled by the Peralta School Board, so they won't be able to be in the Laney College area of Oakland. That opens up other possibilities potentially. And while I was working at CEO, I was a grant writer. I probably wrote 50 or so grants in my 2 years there. So a grant every 2 weeks or so. It was prolific. They're a nearly $40 million organization, so we touched every single area of development, foundations, government, and everything in between. And working at CEO was amazing. You're talking about mostly black and brown men, young and old, who are looking to restart their lives. They've been in jail. They've had their lives turned upside down, a lot of them for non-violent drug offenses. And, you know, in addition to writing grants, I got to chop it up with them. We chopped it up about sports, a lot of Raiders and 49ers fans, a lot of A's and Giants fans. But we all found common ground with the Warriors. And even for people who have not a lot of things going for them and are really trying to pick themselves up from a really tough time and from a time where they made some mistakes, the Warriors provide hope. So that was an absolutely wonderful experience. If you're looking to get a tax write-off for the year 2017 before January 1st, make sure that you go to ceoworks.com and donate. They do absolutely fantastic and necessary work, and they're making sure that you keep your tax dollars from going towards the prison industrial complex. CEO has been shown by independent analysis to reduce reincarceration by 22% and save money on criminal justice costs for municipalities and states. 90% of people who commit parole violations are unemployed at the time that they do, so this is a huge, huge thing. If you're not making money, you're more likely to violate your parole. You're more likely to commit a crime. You're more likely to do things to stay fed, keep your family fed, do all this other kind of stuff, and more likely to fall into old habits. So jobs really prevent reincarceration, and CEO is doing absolutely incredible work making sure that people don't go back to jail. Since January 2017, I've been an independent grant writer. So if you work for a nonprofit or know people who do, who need independent grants, a grant writer to do grants freelance, let me know. Like I said earlier, you can email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com. It's really fulfilling work, doing the podcast, writing freelance, and doing grant writing. And grant writing is where I pay my bills. But this podcast really allowed me to delve into the Warriors in a way that I haven't been able to before. Living and breathing this team for the last 2 months or so, 3 months, has been one of the absolute joys of my life. There's nothing like watching this current iteration of the Warriors play basketball, and being able to talk about it is just, I'm just very lucky. I'm a lucky guy. But that's my pod for the day. Like I said, email me if you have questions or comments, if you want to chop it up about hoops or nonprofits. Email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. Make sure that you go to LockedOnWarriors.com and bookmark the page. Tell your friends about the podcast and subscribe everywhere you can. The Locked On Podcast Network has podcasts for every NBA and NFL team, in addition to Locked On NBA and Locked On NFL. So you have all options available to you if you're a sports fan, a fan of the NFL or the NBA. Check out those podcasts. That's my podcast for the day. I'll be back tomorrow to preview the game and go down the Reddit hole. Stay thoughtful, Hoops heads.